Shall we open our Bibles to the 13th chapter of the Gospel of John this morning? The last time I was here, we looked at the 12th chapter, and this morning I'd just like to continue on into the Gospel of John, into the 13th chapter, and we'll start not with the first verse, but down with verse 21. You know, the first part of the chapter, I think we touched on a little bit in the evening service, so we won't go over that again. But you know, from verse 1 down to verse 20, he talks about washing the disciples' feet. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ was here with his disciples, and somebody forgot to do something. They forgot to have somebody wash the people's feet as they came in to the feast. And of course, Jesus leaving the table, there he knelt down and he washed the disciples' feet. What a rebuke it was to the disciples that they had forgotten to do something. But the Lord Jesus Christ did not forget it. Remember when they traveled over there in the southeastern countries, their feet, they walked in these sandals and their feet would get stained with the dirt from the road. And they would always have somebody at the door to wash the feet of the guests that came into a home. But here, somebody had forgot to fill the pot, no doubt, with water and forgot to wash the disciples' feet and the Lord's feet. Wouldn't it have been a wonderful thing if we would have read in this portion of God's Word that Peter there, as soon as the Lord came in, knelt down and started to wash the Lord's feet. But you know, he forgot just like the rest of the disciples. And it's so easy to forget to do the little things for the Lord Jesus Christ. But the Lord did not overlook it. He washed the disciples' feet. And beloved, he's not like us many times when we try to help somebody. And we say when we wash somebody's feet is when we correct them and so on. But you notice so many times I've noticed in people correcting one another, they usually have scalding hot water. And a poor person's feet just get blistered. Or they have ice cold water. And a poor person's foot is just about froze off. But the Lord had the water just at the right temperature. And there he was serving his disciples, whom they should be serving. But he did not come to have somebody minister to him, but he came to minister and to be a servant to this world, that through him they might have life and have it more abundantly. Isn't that what we find in the first chapter of the Gospel of John? In him was life, and the life was the light of men. It's a wonderful thing to see the Lord Jesus Christ and the greatness that he has given to us. But let us notice the 21st verse of the 13th chapter of John. It says, when Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. You know, these words were really a hard thing to take for the disciples. How would you like to be among 12 people and then the Lord Jesus Christ being the 13th one there? And if he looked at the 12 that were gathered there, he said, one of you are going to betray me. And you know, no doubt in the hearts of each and every one, right away, their mind went probably to Peter, because Peter was always the one that was outspoken. But you know, as you go into the 21st verse, it says, when Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit. Can you imagine the Lord Jesus Christ being troubled in spirit? And yet, in the 14th chapter of John, he said, let not your heart be troubled. He didn't want the disciples to be troubled, and he doesn't want you to be troubled, and he doesn't want me to be troubled, because he took all of our trouble for us. Isn't that great? That's the kind of Savior we have. He was patient with us. He loved us so much that he took all of our burdens on himself, that we wouldn't have a burden to care about. He wants us to know that he cares for us. But his spirit was troubled. And the reason his spirit was troubled is he knew that Judas was there. He knew that as he washed Judas's feet, and beloved, when you think of the Lord Jesus Christ taking the feet of Judas in his hand, that betrayer, you would think he would have used scalding hot water or ice cold water, or pinched his feet or done something, but I believe that he was very tender with Judas' feet. Because you see, already Satan was tempting Judas. But before Satan ever came to Judas, we see in the scriptures in the Gospel of Mark, and maybe we could turn to it for a moment, the 14th chapter of the Gospel of Mark, and I think this could be a lesson for each one of us to learn, because Judas' downfall was that he coveted money so much. He just loved money. And the love of money got really into Judas's heart, as we think of even the Lord Jesus Christ brings out in the 14th chapter of the Gospel of Mark, and the 10th verse it says, and Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went unto the chief priests to betray him unto them. And when they heard it, they were glad and promised to give him money. And he sought how he might conveniently betray him. Now, beloved, I want you to notice something here in this verse. Judas, first of all, went to seek to sell the Lord Jesus Christ. He went to the chief priest. In other words, he thought in his heart about getting 30 pieces of silver. And that money meant so much to him that he was willing to sell his Savior. Now, we're critical of Judas of this. We say, how in the world could anybody sell the Lord Jesus Christ? Because Judas had been with him now 3.5 years. But how could he do such a sinful thing? You've heard in your lifetime, and I've heard in my lifetime, when people have talked about an individual, and you say, well, what kind of a man is that? Oh, you want to stay away from him, they say. Why is that? Well, if you know him like I know him, he'd sell his own mother for a dime. Have you ever heard that expression? I have. Many times as a boy, we use this expression as we try to bring out somebody that was very wicked. Don't get near that fella. He would sell his mother for a dime. Don't have anything to do with him. And we'd stay away from an individual like that. Well, we would criticize Judas and say, Judas, how in the world, after you knew the Lord Jesus Christ for 3.5 years, how could you betray him and go to the chief priest and talk it over, because this was premeditated murder, you might say, because they were going to kill the Lord Jesus Christ, and he was thinking in his heart, what can I make out of it? He's not going to set up his kingdom because they're going to do away with him. And so I might as well get in on the benefit of this and make some money, because they're going to kill him anyway. If I don't sell him, somebody else will. And beloved, this is the attitude of the world. I better get what I can and forget the rest. You see, the money played a big majority part in the life of Judas. Even as we noticed in the 12th chapter, when we found out about Judas once again, it says in that 5th verse about Judas, it says, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. Beloved, he was even putting his hand in the bag and stealing out of it. He was a thief from the very beginning. It wasn't that he was interested in the ointment other than it would bring gain to him. And that money would have been put into the bag, and then he towed it around the bag, and he could, during the week, infiltrate the bag, pull out a little bit to meet his need of the hour. He was a thief. He was already stealing from the Lord. The Lord knew what he was doing. The Lord knew what he was up to. He knew all about Judas, and his heart was troubled because he wanted to save Judas. He didn't want Judas to go to the lake of fire and to be with the devil and his angels. But you see, Judas is getting closer and closer to Satan. As even you get into the 13th chapter, we notice that the Lord Jesus Christ, in the 2nd verse, it says, and supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas. Now notice here, he put into the heart of Judas. In the 14th chapter of Mark, it's just that Judas is looking for a convenient season to sell the Lord Jesus Christ. Now the devil sees what's in the heart of Judas, that Judas is willing to sell his body, soul, and mind for a few measly pieces of silver, 30 pieces of silver, just the price of a slave. That's all that he was going to get out of the Lord Jesus Christ. You would have thought, he would have said, now he's such a big man that I deserve more. But 30 pieces of silver, all he wanted. Now, beloved, we're critical of Judas. But I'm wondering this morning, if I have one in my audience, you're selling the Lord Jesus Christ for a lot less than 30 pieces of silver. Maybe you're selling the Lord Jesus Christ for another fling in life. You're saying, I'm too young to get saved yet, and I still want to have a good time. And after I'm old and decrepit and all the rest, then I'll get religion and I'll get saved. No, beloved, you won't, because now you are selling the Lord Jesus Christ for less than Judas sold him for. At least Judas was paid 30 pieces of silver. You're not being paid anything but probably just the lust of the flesh or the pride of life or coveting some other position in life. As I remember one man who's a chief of police now in a certain city, and he's a close friend of mine, and I know he won't mind me using this as an illustration. But before this man was ever saved, he was afraid to be saved. His wife was a fine Christian, and the reason he was afraid of getting saved, he thought there would be no place for a policeman to ever give his heart to the Lord. He thought you couldn't be a policeman and be saved. Well, if I have any policemen in my audience, let me tell you, this man not only grew up from private in a police force, but went on to sergeant and lieutenant, and now he's a chief of police in a certain city. He went all the way, but he didn't get that great position until, first of all, he gave his heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. He was just a patrolman, but he was afraid. He loved police work so much that he was selling his Lord just to be a patrolman. What a simple thing to sell the Lord for, but he loved police work so much. But maybe you're selling the Lord for your job. Maybe you haven't accepted Christ because you say you can't be in a business that you're in and be a Christian. Well, probably you can be a Christian and be in that kind of business. But if you can't be in a Christian and be in that kind of business, then you should get out of the business. Because you're selling the Lord for a lot less than 30 pieces of silver.
Please.
Any difference what kind of occupation it is, unless it's something illegal, that you can't work for the Lord Jesus Christ in it. There are certain jobs that I think the Lord wants you to come out from and not be associated with, because it would be a bad testimony to the world that you're a Christian doing such thing or maybe selling such thing. You wouldn't want to be a man that's pushing dope. I sure hope I don't have any dope pushers in here this morning that are supposed to be Christians. You better give it up. That's harmful to another man's body. You know, even giving liquor to a man that's not saved or trying to get him drunk. Do you know that's a terrible sin? God said he would count you guilty before his bar. You would even get a man drunk, and you know, in the Old Testament, it was a severe penalty for anybody that got his neighbor drunk to try to do over a business dealing. We have to be careful in things like this because we're going to give answer to God for what we have done, just like Judas is. But Jesus Christ is not critical of Judas. When he washed his feet, he looked at Judas, and no doubt Judas looked at him, for Judas knows already what's in the mind of him. He knows, I'm going to sell the Lord, and looking down at the Lord Jesus Christ as he washed his feet, I no doubt thought in my mind when Judas looked down at the Lord, said to himself, boy, I am really an imposter. I have fooled the Lord. Beloved, he didn't fool the Lord, but he fooled himself. And this is the worst thing, is when a man lies to himself. It's bad enough when you lie to your wife, or to your husband, or to your children, or to your neighbor. That's bad. But beloved, it's a terrible thing when you're lying to yourself. And there's a lot of people lying to themselves that say, I'm going to heaven. But they're not. And really deep down inside their heart, they know they're not saved. They know they're an imposter, just like Judas. Now beloved, these disciples didn't know who it was when the Lord was troubled. Why was he troubled? He wanted to save Judas. He didn't want Judas to go to the lake of fire. He didn't want Judas to become the son of perdition, the one that Satan would enter into. Because here we see in this chapter, Satan coming incarnate in a man. Like the Lord Jesus Christ was incarnate, he was man and God manifested in the flesh. Here we see that Judas has Satan enter into him. Satan takes over Judas. But before Satan ever took over Judas, first of all, Judas thought it in his heart, and then we notice in that verse, in the second verse of the 13th chapter, and supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas. There he put into the heart of Judas. Then Jesus washed his feet. Now Jesus knew that the devil put into the heart of Judas. Would Judas, when the Lord Jesus Christ said, I'm troubled, that one of you were going to betray me, would Judas say, Lord, I'm the one that was going to betray you. But Lord, you've shown me all the love. You showed me all the kindness by washing my feet. You showed kindness to me, Lord. You haven't exposed me to the rest of the 11 years. You've been very thoughtful to me, Lord. So, Lord, I'm not going to betray you. I ask for forgiveness. He could have been forgiven right there. But instead of Judas standing up and saying, Lord, is it I? I'm the one, Lord. You know all about it. He knew the Lord knew it. Because you know now what it says in the next verse. Then the disciples, the 22nd verse, looked one to another, doubting of whom he spake. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples, whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him, that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. Peter beckoned, hey, John, ask him. Now this isn't John the Baptist. John the beloved one, the one we read about in the book of Revelation, also the one that penned the book of John. He's leaning on Jesus Christ. Why didn't Peter ask him? Well, John was the closest one to the Lord Jesus. And Peter probably thought in himself as he looked down in his heart, he thought, am I the one? Am I the one? Could I betray my Lord? Have you ever thought that, my dear friend? Have you ever thought in your soul and mind, could I betray my Lord? All the disciples were put on the spot. They all start saying, Lord, is it I? Beloved, isn't it amazing that the disciples did not know themselves? Could I ask the question this morning, do you know yourself? Do you really know yourself? I don't believe any of us here this morning really know the capable person we are and what kind of sins we can commit. One time there was a murderer that was in jail that I went to preach at. And he said, I never thought I had it in me to murder a man. But he said, I did. Beloved, do you realize that every one of us are capable of murdering somebody? Every one of us are capable of taking dope or alcoholic beverages and through a drunkard stupor or being overtaken in dope, we could go out and kill our own family. As even in Hollywood, one of the great men who was on television for many years, his own daughter one day took dope and she thought she could fly under the influence of dope and jumped out a window and tried to fly, but it was only the dope that fooled her. No wonder they call it dope, because everybody that would commit a thing like that would say they sure are a dope. Well, beloved, anybody that takes dope is a dope. We have to recognize that, or we wouldn't be taking it. But, beloved, we're capable of any sin, and the disciples recognize it. Lord, is it I? Is it I, Lord? Am I the one that's going to betray you? Oh, I hope not, Lord. So John asked the Lord as he leaned on his breast. And notice what he says there in that 25th verse. He then laying on Jesus' breast, said unto him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, He it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop and gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, and after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, that thou doest do quickly. I'm having trouble reading this morning, very bad. When I'm sitting at the Lord's Supper, I broke my glasses. They're out of focus. One's going this way and one's going that way. You look good this morning. Half of you out and half of you are down. I hope it makes sense. But I was hoping to have my new glasses. And I went into the optical company and the man took my prescription and ground the glass and he ground it wrong. And he tried to put it in a frame. And then he tried to adjust the frame to cover up for his mistake. And he got the thing lopsided, and I see one eye was going this way, and I said, there's no way I can read one side. I was seeing this part of the Bible, this part of the same job. I said, I read bad enough without having this trouble. Please give me back my old glasses. So he put the old thing back in, and then yesterday I went to somebody else here in town to try to get them readjusted back to where they were, and he tried to do the best he could, but couldn't quite get it in focus, and I thought, well, I'll get by. And this morning at the Lord's Supper, I broke them trying to adjust them myself. So that's the reason. So bear with me, will you? I'm sorry I had to take that time out to explain it. But anyway, I'm seeing double, in other words. Okay, let's go into the Word of God. Too bad I don't know this all by heart, isn't it? Then I wouldn't have to worry about reading it. Notice what he says. And after the stop, Satan entered into him. Beloved, just imagine here, we see Satan there at a very, very precious time. Let me ask you, brothers and sisters, have you ever been at the Lord's Supper? And Satan has been there as well. Oh, not Satan himself, but his demon force has been there. And bringing thoughts into your mind, and you say, how in the world could a thought like that come into my mind when I'm ready to break the bread and take the cup? Now, maybe you're more spiritual than I am, and maybe you don't have that trouble. But, beloved, I've had it happen. At the most sacred time, when Jesus Christ has just washed the feet of the disciples, and here the Lord Jesus Christ is ready to take and to even remember the Passover feast. He takes and dips into the dish and takes out a sop. You know what the Lord's Supper this morning? We had something missing. We had something missing here that they had when they remembered the Passover. We had the bread and we had the wine, the fruit of the vine. But we didn't have the dish of the sop. But beloved, remember when they remembered the Passover, there was always the dish with the bitter herbs in. But at the Lord's Supper, we don't have the bitter herbs. Why don't we have the bitter herbs on the Lord's Supper and remember the bitterness that Jesus went through? Oh no, that would be wrong. Beloved, it's the bread to remind us of his broken body. It's the cup to remind us of his outpoured blood. The bitter herbs are not there because Jesus Christ took all of our bitterness for us. There's no bitterness for you, isn't that great? No bitterness, but when he put his hand into the dish, he reached down and got the sop, and he gave it to Judas, and Judas took it. And when he took it, Satan entered the heart of Judas. But beloved, he was already willing to be filled not with the Holy Spirit of God, but to be filled with Satan himself. Now Judas is set aside, and Satan has taken over Judas. Jesus is not dealing with Judas now. He's dealing with Satan. And that's why he says, thou that thou doest do quickly in that 27th verse. That thou doest do quickly. It's all over with. Now Satan is under the heart of Judas. Satan is now going to the chief priest in the form of Judas. Beloved, do you realize that very few times in the Bible that you ever hear Satan speak? Once in the book of Job, and then once in the gospel when the devil speaks to the Lord Jesus Christ and offers in the world. The devil isn't one that speaks a lot, but he always uses somebody to speak. He can use you, and he can use me. Beloved, let us never be guilty of doing the devil's work for him. If the devil's work gets done, let him do it himself. That's why we should never gossip about a brother or a sister. When we hear something evil about a brother and a sister, we should fall before God and say, oh God, I'm not going to do the work of Satan and broadcast it to someone else, but rather I'm going to pray for him, and then I'll go to him privately and ask him. Beloved, if you know of a sin that your brother or sister has come in the world, told you about it, don't go to the rest of the brethren and blab it, but rather go to the individual and say, is it true? Is it true? You might save a brother's life, but if you gossip it and do the work of Satan, you won't be doing the brother any good, but you'll only be doing him harm and doing the work of Satan. Don't let Satan use us. Let us be used of the Holy Spirit of God and be filled of the love of Christ. And that's exactly even what he brings out later on in this chapter about the new commandment, love one for another. But you notice when we see here that Judas, having had Satan enter him, it says in the 28th verse, now no man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him. For some of them thought, because Judas had the bag, that Jesus had said unto him, buy those things that we have need of against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. You see, beloved, he was such a great counterfeit that they didn't even expect him. Even what Jesus said, now when I get my hand in the dish and I give it to that one, he's going to be the one that betrayed it. He did it in front of them. They saw it, but they didn't register on their mind. They just thought Judas was going out and buying something. Why? Because Judas was a perfect Christian. Did I say that? Judas was a perfect Christian. I'm always afraid of a perfect Christian. I'm always afraid of a perfect Christian. Always one that's going around, praise the Lord, hallelujah, praise the Lord, hallelujah, hallelujah, praise. Listen, that's the kind Judas was. Judas was one that everybody looked at, they said it couldn't be Judas. They would have thought Peter, they would have thought John, but they wouldn't have thought Judas because he bared the money. Beloved, he was the greatest of counterfeits. You can be such a great counterfeit as a Christian that you can fool your brothers and sisters in Christ and still be on your way to the lake of fire like Judas. He fooled them all. And brother and sister, let me say, there was the biggest counterfeit that's standing in front of you this morning. For from the age of 9 to the age of 12, I had everybody in my assembly fooled. They thought I was a Christian. They thought I was that wonderful little Jim Redding that always did things right. And I was the biggest devil when I was away from those Christians. I just knew what side my peanut butter was on the sandwich. I knew how to act in front of the Christians. Judas knew how to act. He wasn't going to do something to upset the apple cart. He was always one to give his amen. Amen, Lord. Yes. That's right, Lord. And I like amen. If you say amen, I always go 5 minutes overtime. Yes, that's why everybody doesn't say amen when I preach. But anyway, you know, it's a wonderful thing to say amen. And I'm not kicking against spiritual people. Don't think I'm putting them down. But beloved, what I'm trying to point out to us this morning is Judas was one that wasn't looked like that he could deceive the Lord because everybody thought he was the best of Christians. He was the best of the followers. You don't give a thief your money. They didn't know Judas was a thief. And yet they were putting their money in the bag and Judas was taking it out. He had deceived them all. He knew how to pad the book. He knew how to gift the Lord Jesus Christ out of the funds that were put in the bag. Jesus knew he knew it, was doing it. He knows all things. And beloved, that's the thing that gets me when we come to the life of Judas. Judas could have been saved. For even in the Gospel of Matthew, the 27th chapter, it shows us Judas repenting, bringing again the silver pieces. That's after Satan has left him. He brings it back to the place and he brings it back to the temple. But they said, no, we don't want it. You do with that money what you want. And he cast it down in the house of the Lord. You would think he would have gotten forgiveness. But instead of going to the Lord Jesus Christ, he went to the cross of a tree. and hung himself. But if he would have gone to Jesus Christ and said, Lord, I betrayed you. I betrayed innocent blood like he did to the priest. He would have been forgiven. Beloved, he went to the wrong place for forgiveness. And the only where you can get forgiveness, and the only place I can get forgiveness, is go to the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that right? The only place we can get forgiveness is Jesus Christ. Because he's the one that paid the price. That's why it goes on and says in this next verse, notice what it says down in the 30th verse. Go to the 30th, yes. He then, having received the sop, went immediately out, and it was night. Oh, beloved, I got under my Bible, and it was night underlined. Beloved, whenever you do the work of Satan, it's night. You went out into the darkness of night. When you're saved, you're considered a child of light. You're not a child of darkness anymore. Let me ask you here this morning, are you a child of light, or are you a child of darkness? Judas stepped out, and it was night. But it was going to be night for him for all eternity, or he's going to be where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. He's going to be in the darkness of night forever. Beloved, it was night. Are you traveling into the night hour? Into where there's never going to be light? Many times when I'm standing at a funeral and I'm burying somebody, I look down in that casket and I say to myself, either that man's in light forever or he's going to be in darkness forever except at the great white throne judgment. Beloved, where will it be when you enter into eternity? Is it heaven or is it hell? Is it light or is it darkness? We who are saved tonight at the night come, we better look at darkness, because if tomorrow the Lord comes, we'll never see darkness again. But you that are lost, you better hope that you see another break of day. You better look at this day like today, good, because you will never see the break of day again until you stand at the great white throne when you see the light of the world, Jesus Christ, as he judges. Oh, beloved, it's a serious thing. Judas sold his Lord, and it was night. He went out into the night. And notice the next verse, the 31st verse. Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, now notice this next word, beloved. Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and the glory God is glorified in him. Let me read it again. Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. But Lord, didn't you say somebody's going to sell you? And Satan is sent to Judas? And he's going now to betray you, and yet you say you're glorified. Yes, this is the hour. Jesus was happy now. He had tried everything he could to bring Judas to himself. Even by washing his feet. Even by telling him one's going to betray me. He gave him a chance to confess there. But he would not. Then Satan entered him after he got the sign. Then Satan took his body outside to the chief priest and got the 30 pieces of silver. And Jesus said, now I'm glorified. I'm ready to do the Father's will. I'm going to go to the Garden of Gethsemane and pray, three times, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Beloved, he was glorifying the Father. The Father was going to get glory because Jesus Christ was going to put sin away once and for all. This was the hour for which Jesus came into the world to pay for the wages of sin. Aren't you glad they're gone? Gone, gone, gone. Yes, my sins are gone because Jesus Christ allowed Judas to betray him. Oh, you know the priest was happy. He was happy because it was one of the own of Jesus Christ that sold him. They said, it's not us, it's his own disciple that sold him. Beloved, what causes more havoc in the church of Jesus Christ? But many times, the Lord's own people, or those that profess to be his people. Oh, you see, it's so easy to be a professing Christian and not be the real thing. Thank God for the 11 that were true believers. But there was one out of the 12 that was a devil. And he allowed Satan to enter him. And beloved, because of that, he led Judas to the place of the tree of damnation. He's called the son of perdition. The Antichrist is also called the son of perdition in the book of the Thessalonians and also the book of Revelation. Beloved, this one that Satan enters into, Satan entered into Judas. Satan enters into the Antichrist. He takes over the job itself. He did not allow this job to be done by Judas. He said, I will do it. And he entered into Judas. I wonder if there's anyone here that's allowing Satan to enter into them instead of letting the Holy Spirit of God enter into you and giving you eternal life. Wouldn't it be a dreadful thing this morning if after hearing a word of God like this, realizing that Jesus Christ would be made sin for us. He was the one that was being nailed to the cross to pay for the wages of sin. And beloved, like I've said many times here before, I've used the book and I've used the part of the pulpit. I've always said this book here represents our sin, and this part of the pulpit represents us. And this part represents the righteousness of Christ, and this represents Christ. I said, God made Christ to be sin for you. He took all of your sins, and he would have taken all of Judas's sins. And he could have said, Judas, I'll take your sins, and I'll pay for them on the cross. If he would have only gone to the cross, he could have gotten forgiveness. But he didn't go to the cross. And beloved, some of you people aren't maybe saved because you've never come to Christ. You've tried to turn over new leaves. You've tried to stop this, and you've tried to stop that. But that'll never save you. You have to come to Jesus Christ to be saved. When you see Jesus paid for your sins on the cross, God takes all of your sins and he counts it to the death of Christ. Then he takes all of the righteousness of Jesus Christ and he puts it over here on you. You're made righteous and he's made sin. Isn't that a great transaction? I'm glad that Jesus Christ took my sins and put it on him and I received the righteousness of Jesus Christ myself. I'm not righteous of myself. I'm righteous because of Jesus Christ. I don't deserve to go to heaven myself. But I do deserve to go there because he paid for my sins. And not one sin is left on me, and not one sin will be left on you if you would come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Wouldn't it be wonderful if there was one here this morning? You'd been an imposter for a long time. Everybody thinks you're a Christian, but you're really not. You've really never been saved. I had a lady say to me last week, or 2 weeks ago when I was holding some meetings in Virginia, she said to me, she said, you know, I just got saved. She was in a certain church for many years. Everybody was shocked. When she told me, one fellow said, well, maybe you just needed to really get assurance. She says, no, I needed to be saved. Listen, when somebody says they need to be saved, don't try to say, well, maybe you just needed assurance. They know if they were lost. I was a hypocrite for a long time. I fooled a lot of people. She had fooled the church for a long time. And it's kind of hard for a church sometimes to admit that somebody's been in their midst that wasn't saved. But thanks be to God that they find out before they end up in the lake of fire. I'm thankful that I found out. And I said to that dear woman, I said, you know, I always wondered about you. I always wondered about you. And I did. Because she never really showed any spark of life to me when I talked to her. Her husband did. But when I talked to her, it was just like talking to a stone wall. There wasn't that communication as a brother and sister. There was something lacking. But boy, now you should talk to her. She's a different person. She wants to talk about the Lord. She wants to ask you questions about the Bible. She wants to be at the services where before she's kind of forced into it and ashamed to go. Maybe the only reason you're here is somebody maybe would be on the telephone saying, where were you this morning? But you'd rather stay at home. Beloved, you better check up to see if you're saved. Are you really born again? Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? And can you say, yes, I know that he was made sin for me. And if you haven't ever seen Jesus Christ being made sin, all of your rottenness, all of your dirty life, transferred to you to the cross of Christ, and when he died on the cross, he paid for those sins. If you've never seen Jesus pay for your sins, beloved, they're still on you. How about getting rid of them this morning and saying, I'm going to accept Jesus Christ as my Savior. I'm going to be saved. I'm going to trust his precious blood. That's why he died. He died that he might have your sins put on him. He died to give you his life, his perfect life, to make you righteous because he paid for your sins. Have you ever accepted him? Have you ever said, yes, Lord, I'm going to receive your death on the cross of Calvary to pay for all of my sins and be forgiven? Maybe there's one here this morning that would like to be saved. Why don't you write where you sit? Just say, Lord, I've never been saved. And I'd like to be saved right now. Will you come into my life and cleanse me of my sins? Say it in your own words. Say it in your own heart. And beloved, he will hear you. And the angels of heaven and all that are around the Lord Jesus Christ and all those saints that have gone on before will rejoice over one sinner that has repented of their sins and is saved. Shall we bow in a word of prayer? Father, maybe there is one person here that needs to be saved. Oh, we just pray, Father, that thou would speak to their heart. We hope that there's no Judases here this morning. But maybe there's one, Father, that has been pretending for a long time they're a Christian. But they're not saved, Lord. You know it and they know it. Father, they need to get saved this morning. Oh, Father, maybe there's someone here that has never attended a church service before. But thy Spirit has spoken to them and they need to be saved. We pray that this morning they might receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Bless us through the invitation we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Could we sing in closing, just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bid me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Number 373. And if there's somebody here, you've asked Christ to save you, why don't you just slip out of that seat and come forward so we might know that you've accepted him. I'm not asking you to join this chapel. I'm asking you to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior. But maybe there's somebody here that you're not sure you're saved. You'd like to make sure. Why don't you just slip out of that seat and come, and by coming, say, I'm going to receive him this morning. And acknowledge that you need Christ. And everyone here that's a Christian will be praying for you. Shall we stand as we sing 373?
Thank God it's not me. Because tonight when I asked the Lord to save me, I didn't feel anything. And I was just waiting for something.